Want to look at Deuteronomy chapter number 33, and I'm going to choose for my text verse 25, and we want to talk about God's promise there for your life. And as we're looking at that chapter here, Moses is toward the end of his life and ministry to his people, and he has led them now for 40 years. I can appreciate the love Moses had for his people, having led them for 40 years. And this next month, September, I will have finished, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, 47 years of pastoral ministry here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. 47 years, Brother Joe. And isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's a blessing. And not only that, but I've been here in the church serving the Lord as either a deacon, Sunday school superintendent, and so forth. I've been here for 53 years, 1 year off in Florida for good behavior. And 53 years I have been here and was a charter member, one of the charter members of this church when it was formed on Clay Avenue in Scranton on a Wednesday. We voted on that being a fellowship, and I was a charter member of that back in the day. And so I can understand the heart of Moses to want these people to succeed as they are approaching their promised land. And furthermore, tonight, as you look with me at Deuteronomy 33, God's promise for your life, Moses had prophetic insight from the Lord about the strengths and weaknesses of various families and tribes in the nation of God's people, Israel. He had some wonderful promises from God to give to the people. And tonight, I want to help you by passing those promises along to you, because 1 Corinthians 10 says they're for you as well, and you could benefit from them. And the promise I want to preach on for your life tonight, and I'm glad you're here and are not going to miss out on this, because it's important, is from Deuteronomy 33:25. Therefore, my message tonight is God's promise for your life. Now, keep in mind, Jacob had a lot of children as part of God's permissive will for his life. And he wanted the children of Israel to grow, and so Jacob had a lot of children. He had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want to have 2 points for the message tonight on God's promise for your life. The first one is the context of God's promise for you. And as I look at the context, the first thing I want to say about that context here is that it points you to the person of the God who will perform the promise for you. A promise is no good if you don't have someone that can perform it. And I was telling Marilla today I had planned to use her dog as an illustration of the fact that if you don't have a God that is able to perform the promise, what good is it? And what's the opposite of God, G-O-D? It's dog, D-O-G. And I was going to use Oreo, because Oreo has a bark, but not much of a bite. He's not much of a watchdog, although he thought he was a watchdog. And I just heard today, sadly, that Oreo died this past week of a sickness after 9 years. So I was sad to hear that, but I know what Marilla's going through. I know it's painful to have a dog that you love and your family loves die. And yet, you know, I say it jokingly, because we made jokes about Oreo. Oreo was a watchdog and might fully intend to protect Marilla and her family from an intruder, but all the intruder would have to do is just go, and Oreo would be finished. Now, I had a watchdog by the name of Samson. How many of you have ever met Samson? Yes. And Samson, I got complaints about Samson that he was intimidating people that were jogging by the house. And I thought maybe he was staying within the property, and he had a long, loose leash. Basically, no leash. And so a jogger reported us to the police, and the police went out to investigate my watchdog, Samson. And as the policeman went out there, he got out of his car in front of our house. You know, we have a pretty large yard there. And he said, "I don't see anything yet." And he's out there, and all of a sudden, coming across the lawn, he sees this huge bull Rottweiler Mastiff dog, and he's coming at him. And the cop did the smart thing. He ran to the police cruiser and slammed the door. Just then, Samson arrived, and he didn't just come up to a door and stop. He hit the police cruiser full tilt, and the cruiser was shaking like this. I mean, I'm telling you, our little gunner, the little Chihuahua, not Chihuahua, that's Oreo, but the gunner was a little pug dog. He got hit by a car right out on the road called the Della Road by our house, and it was the end of him. You know, he lasted a little while, and then I saw him die, and that was sad. But Samson went down that same thing and got hit full tilt by a car, and all you saw was fenders, bumper, everything. The car was basically hurt. The guy kept going. It was a hit and run. But the car took the worst of it. Samson shook it off, and he kept going, you know. And he just had a little limp for a while. It was gone. But I'm just saying to you that there was a watchdog that could take care of you. And when we talk about the promise of God, we have a God, my friend, that will perform his promise to you. He's not impotent when it comes to being able to perform his promise. And so your God tonight, in the context of the promise that I'm going to preach on, he calls his people, Israel, by the name Jerusharon. And that is good news for you. The name Jerusharon means that God is for you tonight. If you're a child of God, God is not against you. God is for you. And Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You could have the world against you. You could have your own flesh against you, and you do. You could have the devil against you, and we do. But if God the Father is for you, God the Son is for you, and God the Holy Spirit is for you, then who are these compared to the God of the Bible, the God of all creation? And that's the God that calls you Jerusharon. And the Bible says here in the context of the promise of verse 25, he says in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 33, he says, "There is none like unto the God of Jerusharon, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help." He says here, I'm going to give you a pet name, Jerusharon. You know, it's interesting that Jacob was the father of Israel, and he became Israel, but his name was Jacob. And you know what Jacob meant? A schemer. As somebody that did things by his own shrewdness and his own ability to con and connive and so forth. That was a lot of Jacob's nature. But God said, "Jacob, I'm going to put you into a situation where you cannot deal with it. I'm going to have your brother come against you with 400 men, and you're going to think you're going to be killed, and you're going to wrestle with me all night and pray, and you're going to come out the loser in that wrestling match, and I'm going to touch your leg, and you're going to be limping on your leg. But guess what? You're going to win something." You know what he won? God changed his name. He gave him the name Israel. And Israel means a prince that has prevailed with God and now has power with God. Oh, it is a blessing to have God's touch in your life where He changes your character from being a self-dependent, sneaky person to being somebody that prevails through the power and blessing of God in your life. And God gave him the name Israel, and He loved to call him by the name Israel. And He also gave Israel in numerous places in the Bible the name Jerusharon. In fact, I see it in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jerusharon, who I have chosen. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses." What a context. The context of the promise I want to preach to you from God tonight is a context of a God who loves to give you pet names, who loves to give you loving nicknames. Like Israel, He gave the nation of Israel His people. And like Jerusharon, as He calls them there, and He says these things, "I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses." And the name Jerusharon speaks of being upright. It speaks of being righteous. And when you think of God's people, they were so often not righteous in the way they did things. And Jacob was often not righteous in the way he did things in his early days, especially. But God says, "I am going to call you Jerusharon, the righteousness of God." And you, as a child of God, the Lord, when He looks at you, He looks at you as His Jerusharon. I love the name Jerusha for a girl. I think Jonathan Edwards' daughter was named Jerusha. And I told Brother Z, if I had a girl, I would want to name her Jerusha. It's a beautiful name. But it means that God sees you as righteous. He sees not your sins, they're imputed to Christ and paid for, but the perfect righteousness of Christ is yours. He sees you as He sees Christ. He loves you as He loves Christ. Can you get a hold of that tonight? God is saying, "The love that I have for my own Son, I see you in Him. I don't see you in yourself. I don't see you alone and apart from Him." And because of that, the Lord works in your heart that same righteousness that He worked in Christ's life. You know, one of the things I've been praying for my life, because I'm in Christ, Lord, make me to mourn for my sin. Make me to get sad over my sin. You know, a lot of people are hardened and they don't mourn for their sin. But the Bible says, "Blessed are they that mourn." When you mourn over your sin, that's a good thing. James talks about that in James 4. And I ask God to do that because I'm His Jerusharon. I'm righteous before Him. And I want to be righteous, His righteousness more in me. And it starts with mourning over my sin so that I want to put that off and put on Christ's righteousness. And that's how God works that in your life. He works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure because you are His Jerusharon, and what a blessing that is. And He says here, "Because you're my Jerusharon, I'll pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among grass." You know, I can't help but think about my granddaughter, because it says they'll spring up as willows by the watercourses. And I have a granddaughter, my youngest daughter, her name is Willow. And I remember Willow, as a young baby, Brooke asked us to pray for her because she had scoliosis. And And she said, the doctor said she has scoliosis, she's bent, and it's a problem. Would you pray for her to straighten out? And we prayed, and we shared it with some people. And Kelly DeWarren was helping us out, teaching in our Christian school at that time. And she said, you know what, Pastor? I was praying for your granddaughter, Willow, and it was like the Holy Spirit gave me this verse. And it says in Isaiah 44, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. And she said, I believe from that verse and those verses that God is showing me that your willow is going to spring up and be straight. Her back is going to be straight. It's going to straighten out. And not only that, but she's going to be a godly woman that's going to love the Lord and serve the Lord. And you know what? After that, Willow's back straightened right out. No more scoliosis. And she got saved and got baptized. And I'm just saying to you, what a blessing that is, because we're his Jerusharon. And that's what he says there. And I was out in Michigan, and I remember cutting my grass out there when I was a kid in Michigan, my dad's yard. And I would be pushing the lawnmower, and I'd have to avoid this willow tree that was so little because it would run over and my lawnmower would cut it up. And I used to go around it. Well, now when I go to Michigan, that willow tree is about 50 feet high, Brother Joe. And it's got branches sometime that come off it, and we had to get rid of them. It's so big. It's so powerful. I had to burn some of the branches when I was out there and roll them up. They're humongous. And that encourages me, because you're God's Jerusharon, he is going to give you children that live for God, that the Spirit, and grandchildren that will live for God and pour out his Spirit upon them. Why? Because you're his Jerusharon, you can claim this promise. And God says, here's the context of my promise, the God that I am, that I say this to you. And you're going to have spiritual children. And what a blessing that will be. And it says that he will pour out his Spirit. That sounds like revival to me. And it says that and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. You know, it's beginning to rain. The rain of revival, that's going to come from the God who calls you his Jerusalem. And then he goes on here in verse 27 of chapter 33, in the context of the promise, he says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. You know, sometimes we are weak, and we feel very weak. I've been weak and feel very weak in myself. And I remember one time my youngest daughter, again, Brooke, it was after Eric Slobodnik, who she was unofficially engaged to, had passed in Iraq into heaven from a Bradley fighting vehicle there as he went over a mine and went over that planted out there by those wicked people. And five guys went with him. They left this world. And she had become very afraid of flying. And she called me up and she said, Dad, I'm afraid of flying, but I have to get on an airplane. I have to fly. Would you pray for me? And do you have anything to encourage me? And immediately Deuteronomy 33 came to my mind. And I said, it says in Deuteronomy 33, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I said, just realize that airplane, that underneath that airplane, Almighty God is holding that airplane up. Just picture that. And you know what? Why don't you picture that in the context of God, that he's so powerful that he is carrying you and he is carrying you through life, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And you know what? I'm so glad that I have a God that's not a daisy God. You ever play the game She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. Don't raise your hand. I won't ask for it. I played it before. I'll get up here. And she loves me. She loves me not. And some days my wife does. Some days. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, underneath, the daisy. But I'm a tulip Christian. I'm a Dutchman, a tulip. You know, the official flower of the Dutch is the tulip. And the tulip stands for, in part, God chose you before you even got saved. And God determined that He was going to love you and that He was going to save you. And guess what? That love never changes. Sometimes I don't feel that love. But that's when my faith lays hold of the God of Jeshurun, the God who has made us righteous and who is upholding us. And also here in the context of this promise in Deuteronomy 33, we look at Jacob's child from a lady by the name of Zilpah, Leah's handmaiden, that she gave to Jacob. And she gave birth, Zilpah gave birth to Gad and Asher. And Asher is the one we're looking at tonight. Firstly, Asher developed into one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Isn't that great to know? You know, God wants you to be a whole tribe, not just to have kids. If you're married, you know, great, have kids. But have spiritual kids and let that become a tribe. Wouldn't that be great? And a bus captain, you know, they have a tribe going with them. And that's a great thing. It's just a great thing to have. And as our church grows, guess what? We're going to have different families that the Lord will bless in the church. And those different families of spiritual people will have different strengths and different weaknesses. But the main strength is that we're one church, and Asher had his unique strengths and weaknesses, but he was still part of the one nation of Israel. And so it's good to keep that in mind, that we are unique, we have unique blessings and gifts, but we're part of one church. And then secondly, under the context of this promise, God says that Asher will be blessed with children. In Deuteronomy 33:24a, it says, "And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children." You know, it's a blessing to have children. God says, get married, bear children, and so forth. And what a blessing that is. But it's a blessing. Maybe you can't have physical children in your life at the time, but you can have spiritual children. And our church can have spiritual children. And so God says in the context of the promise that I'm preaching on, hey, let Asher be blessed with children. Boy, I've had times in my life when I felt like Rachel, give me children, Lord, or I die. I've had times in my life where I felt like Hannah, who her husband loved her, and I know the Lord loves me, but Lord, that's not enough, Hannah said. I got to have children, and that was important. And you know what? I say to the Lord, give me children, Lord. I've got to have spiritual children. And I preached a message called Break Out of Barrenness, and I believe this is an encouragement to you tonight, that you can break out of barrenness. You can lead people to Christ, and maybe they'll be your own children or grandchildren, like my grandma led me to the Lord, or certainly strangers that you can lead to the Lord and become part of the family of God. What is an exciting thing that is. And so I want to be a spiritual father and spiritual grandfather and spiritual great-grandfather and so forth. That is a blessing. I remember when we came down to Scranton, Billy Sunday had come through here, and 50-some years before we were here, and he led so many people to the Lord. They went down the Sawdust Trail. Just from being here a number of weeks and preaching, he saw this whole area changed. And God didn't lead us to do that with an evangelist. He led us to plant a church. And I believe that each of you, if you have spiritual children, and God wants to give you spiritual children, we could see more done in the long run than Billy Sunday saw in his time here. And so that should be your prayer and your aim, that you're going to win people to the Lord and have spiritual children. Then you're going to teach them how to go out. And I'm always encouraged. I was encouraged to see Gabby. I led her to the Lord in a laundromat. She got baptized, joined the church, and she was here this morning. And I took note of that, and praise the Lord for that. That was another thing in the context of this promise that God said he would do. And then God says, through Moses to Asher, he said also, finally, and let him dip his foot in oil. Now, I remember back in the 1980s seeing the Zion Oil and Gas Company, and they would go explore and drill in the land of Asher, which was in the northern part of Israel where Asher settled. And this promise could have to do with discoveries of oil. I'm not saying it doesn't. And people become very rich when they strike oil. But it certainly historically had to do with olive oil. And that they had olive oil and olive trees, and they became a very prosperous people. And I thank God that he can prosper us. He can prosper us. We're not a rich church. We're a poorer church. But I have seen God lift people and prosper them, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you have money, but your money doesn't have you. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. And I have seen when we give tithes and offerings, God gives back to us. You can't outgive God. And I've seen it in my own life. It's amazing to me. Every year I give more on the faith promise time, and every year God just keeps pouring more back, and I just need to keep pouring it back. Because you need to give to get to give again and not take it with you. And I noticed that church in Holland, Michigan, where I heard a message along these lines, and God is blessing that church, but they're pouring it out to get people saved. And I believe that God is going to do that and is doing that with us. I believe Donald Trump becoming president of the United States is because God wants to enrich America again, make America richer again, prosperous again. And I'm not preaching a health and wealth gospel. There's only a time. But God is helping us to be a friend to Israel and is blessing us with finances. Why? So that you can invest in the gospel. And that's what I appreciate about this Baptist church in Holland, Michigan, that's what they're doing. And so the context of this promise is you have a God, and he has a plan for your life, and he calls you his Jereshurun, his righteous one, and he wants to make you righteous like Christ, and he can enrich you, he can bless you, and he can give you children, spiritual children, and bless your children and grandchildren with spiritual life. And something else it says here that he does in the context, I skipped over it, but I want to get back to it. He says, let him be acceptable to his brethren. You know, they were unique people, Asher. They had unique blessings. But God said, let them be acceptable to his brethren. Do you know what? God wants you to be acceptable to your brethren, your family, and the local church. You know, I think of the Bajeskis, and the church showed the Bajeskis love with Brother Bob went through what he's gone through. But you know what? They have shown love to the church. They have poured their life out in ministry, in soul winning, and in working in the sound and all that goes with that, and being a deacon and working with the choir and working with the nursery and working with the hospitality ministry, which is a huge ministry. I am just saying, are you acceptable to your brethren? I have my part to play, and I want to play my part, but I can't do everything. I'm just limited. I'm just playing my part. And each of you can play your part, and if you do it, you will become acceptable to your brethren. Sarge will appreciate this. I just heard a quote by Bo Schimlecker. He was the former head coach of the University of Michigan football team. And he was talking to his team members. And I saw him in the video. And he's preaching to them. And he's saying, guys, the team is everything. It's the team, the team, the team. He said, there's no coach above the team. He said, there's no player above the team. The team is everything. And you know, that's true of the church. If I'm not in church, I want people that can cover for me. And if you're not here, it should be the same way. Because it's not about you or about me. It's about the local church. It's not about Asher or Gad or Joseph or Ephraim or Manasseh or Judah. It's about Israel. It's about Jerusalem. And it is about God's team. And the context of this promise is that the Lord is saying here that he is a God that is able to perform his promises and delights to perform his promises. And so he gives you that name, Jerusalem, and he helps you to live up to that name by his grace. And what a wonderful, blessed thing that is that we have from God, that he is a God that calls his people by that name. And secondly, he says that Asher will be blessed with children and that they'll be acceptable to their brethren. They'll be part of a team. And what a blessing that is for them to be part of the team that is a winning team. And God promises all of these blessings to his people, Israel. But I want to go back here and I want to look at another thing, and that is the content of God's promise for you, the content. And it's in verse 25. And so look with me at verse 25 of Deuteronomy 33. Here's what he says. He says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Now, I used to do a lot of walking, and I'm still doing a lot of walking. But I found out what you have on your feet is very important when you walk. When I didn't have the right stuff on my feet would get sore, and I couldn't walk anymore. I used to take long walks with my church shoes on. That wasn't too smart. And then I was told by my middle son, Bo, he said, you got to get some Dr. Scholl's on your feet, you know, something to pad your feet. And ever since then, my wife will tell you, I'd get Dr. Scholl's stuff, and I cut them out and I put them in my shoes. Why? Because it can be very painful when you walk around on a rocky road and your feet are bothering you. And here's what God is saying tonight in this content of the promise of God. God is saying, firstly, you're going to have some rocky times in your life. You're going to walk in a difficult road. Life is not always going to be smooth and easy. I had a rough day Saturday. You had a rough day Saturday. But we persevered through the rough day. And guess what? The next day, God blessed. And I'm just saying to you that you're going to have not only days, but weeks and months, perhaps years, when you're going through a rocky road. But God says, I will give you shoes for your feet that will protect you so that you can keep walking forward, so that you can be stable, so that you can be faithful and keep on going forward. And, you know, sometimes I go out to the car. How many of you have ever gone out to the car to get something and you didn't feel like you had time to put shoes on? You just went out there with your stuff. And I've gone out and I get stones and I go, ouch, 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 ah, ooh, ah. It doesn't feel too good, does it? And God says, listen, I am going to give you shoes of iron. I'm going to give you shoes of brass. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you as sheep among wolves. Even in the church, there are wolves that come into the church. And we are in a place of danger so often, right? And we need protection as we walk and serve God. And God is saying here, I will protect you, and I will take care of you. And I have seen that in my life, how God has given me that divine protection with the shoes of iron, and the shoes of brass speak about God's judgment. And you know what I found out? That people that tried to destroy me, they wound up getting destroyed. You know, Donald Trump's an anointed president. You see those people that are trying to destroy him and tried to impeach him and lawfare him and put him in jail and kill him. But guess what? In his second coming, I believe judgment is coming down. I'm just saying that brass stands for judgment. And if you keep going for the Lord and don't let your enemies stop you, just love your enemies and keep serving the Lord, God will deal with those enemies. I hope they get saved, amen, and have their lives turned around. But if they don't, God will deal with them. One pastor said, my greatest claim to fame is I've outlived my enemies. And those shoes of brass will enable us. And at the second coming of Jesus Christ, those that have fought against us, they will be subdued under our feet, the Bible says. And so these are the shoes of brass, God's promise of protection for you. So when the going gets tough, you don't have to stop. You keep walking, and God will enable you to walk through those rough places in your life. And that is one of the content of this promise. The other part of the promise that we have content is in verse 25, the second part. He says, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know what that means? Firstly, if you're committed to serve the Lord and to keep going for the Lord, for listen to me, as long as you live, God will give you strength to serve him. Even if you get weak and you get sick and you get old, God will give you the strength that you need as long as you live. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. But secondly, God's strength for you to serve the Lord comes in daily portions. He says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Why is that important to you, to have strength? Because you need to know God gives you strength day by day when you need it, just as you need it. Now, I believe that there are some of you tonight that may be not getting the strength that you need because you're wasting your strength on vain regrets about yesterday in your life, in your family, and in your walk. And you may be bitter about the past and about sins that have hurt you in the past. But you know what God says about our sins? He says, I've removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. He says, I've buried your sins in the deepest sea so that you cannot dive down and find them and bring them back like the scapegoat that was laid hands on and let go so it wouldn't come back. Why are you digging up past sins and blaming your people around you for past sins when they're under the blood? God said, as your days, so shall your strength be. But if you're digging up past sins and remembering past sins against your brothers and sisters, that's going to weaken the team. You're going to have an unforgiving spirit. And that's going to weaken you. And you're not going to draw strength today that God says that he has for you as your days, Asher. So shall your strength be. Don't live in the past. Don't dredge up what God has buried with Christ when he went into the grave. Our old man is dead and buried. Don't focus and try to dredge up the old man in people around you. Don't focus on that. Have your focus where it should be, on living for the Lord today. But God also talks about not only wearing yourself up by dredging the past, but God's strength that he promises to give you for today is cut down and cut off when you are constantly worrying about tomorrow. Something that you need to do tomorrow. Something you need to do next week. Something you need to do next month. Something. Now, there's nothing wrong with preparing ahead. But the Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow. That doesn't mean don't prepare, plan. It means don't focus on worrying about it. Don't try to treat it like, oh, I just can't do that. No, you can't do it today, but when you need to do it, God says, claim my promise, I'll be there. My help will be there. My strength will be there. And I believe some of you are in the past dredging up sin and it's cutting off your strength for today. Some of you are going into the future and you're worrying about tomorrow and it's cutting off your strength for today. I'm saying tonight, in the content of this promise, God wants you, the Lord wants you to stop worrying about what you will need for later this week, this month, and this year, and so forth. Stop doing it. God will be there. Trust him. Trust him. You know, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I drove out to Michigan after ministering a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning. Drove out there, and I was took a long time to pack. They had a lot of stuff they wanted me to bring out there. And I was now driving into the night. And I'm driving along, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, whatever it is. Got that right. But my headlights only could see 150 feet ahead of me. I couldn't see all the 12-hour trip. I could just see 150 feet ahead of me at a time. And once I had gone those 150 feet, God gave me another 150 feet called the headlights. And then once I'd done that, he gave me another. And that's how we're to live our life. We're to live our life and do what the Lord wants us to do now, and he'll help us tomorrow. I was having problems with a new cell phone. I was complaining, oh man, that cell phone, I just can't do this. I can't live in this world. And you know what? My son had bought the cell phone for me. He had helped to get things set up. My secretary had helped. And I just had to wait because the next day it started coming together. And I had everything I needed. I just needed to go ahead and do what God wanted me to do for that day. And if I can't get that thing fixed, just trust when I need it, it will be there. And it was there for Sunday, for today, when I needed to minister. He will give you what you need when you need it. Don't borrow from tomorrow and try to do that today. You'll cut into your strength. Don't dredge up the past and cut into your strength for today. So decide to stop doing that. Stop dredging up the past. Decide to stop worrying about the future and to claim the content of the promise for your life, that he'll give you protection for your walk and your work so you can keep being stable and steady, and he'll give you strength. When you need it, he will not fail you. May God help you to apply that in your life. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about God's promise for your life.